Invermorey House, Scotland, end of August 1940. Sometimes it's not the biggest lies, but the little white ones that bring about the most change. Although Constance couldn't possibly have known that by pretending she had a migraine in order to escape the house, there would be such lasting consequences. She sat on the edge of the large rock that jutted out over the lock and hitched her evening dress up in what her mother would call unladylike fashion. She removed her satin shoes and peeled off her stockings, dipping her legs into the cool water, soothing her dance sore feet. She needn't be discreet. The edge of the lock was so far from the house that no one could possibly hear her, and given the strict blackout regime the housekeeper adhered to, no one could see her either. She closed her eyes and then opened them almost immediately. Her migraine had been a fabrication, although the racket the band was making was exceedingly loud and growing louder the more enthusiastic both the players and the guests became. If she strained her ears now, she could hear them playing all the way from the lock. The need to escape her birthday party, to escape Henry, had engulfed her to the point she could think of no other way but to lie. Dangling her feet in the cold water, Constance looked back through the darkness to where she could just make out the outline of the baronial mansion. Inside were 50 or so of her mother and father's closest friends, and barely any of her own, still celebrating her birthday with little regard for her absence and even less for the war outside in Invermorey House. It was no longer a faint noise of the band playing, but rather another sound that suddenly caught her attention, causing her to look skyward. A smattering of low gray cloud hid something she sensed was looming closer in the dark night sky. It took Constance a few seconds to understand she was listening to the sound of a Spitfire engine. But far from its usual smooth whir, it sputtered and whined as if gasping for breath. She saw its outline against the darkness of the sky above and the black mass of forest on the horizon as the plane dropped from the sky. As the plane sank even further, Constance knew it was going to crash, and she scrambled to her feet, moving quickly over the jutting rock in case the plane should bank suddenly towards her. It did not. The Spitfire came level with her before hitting the water at such a horrific angle. She was sure one of its wings had been ripped clean away, sending spray high into the air. Instinctively, she turned away to avoid the large splashes. After the loss of its wing, the plane spun and tumbled on the water until Constance didn't know which way around it was. Was there a pilot? It took only a few seconds for the weight of water to fill the vessel before the plane gurgled and disappeared below the surface, the water smothering it entirely, as if it had never been there at all. There was no sign of the pilot, no noise of him swimming to safety in the darkness. The false tide from the crash lapped strongly against the rock. Constance stood shaking, her eyes wide open, her breaths coming in quick succession, her hands still tightly clutching her stockings and shoes. She knew she had to do something, but her body refused to call her to action. She was rooted to the spot, staring across the water at where the plane had been. She was torn. Forcing herself to move, she clambered down the rock and into the water, cutting her leg on the sharp edge as she did so. She couldn't feel the pain or the blood. Her silk evening dress clung to her legs as she strode quickly as she could through the water in the direction of where the plane had sunk. Inside the house, the grandfather clock in the entrance hall struck midnight, and the band played on to the revelers, unaware of the events outside. From the opening of The Forbidden Promise, One Secret, Two Lives Changed Forever by Lorna Cook. With a title like that, Forbidden Promise, you might well expect a Harlequin-style romance on steroids. You'll find no semi-clothed guys or gals on the cover of this book. I spoke a couple of weeks ago about the appeal of gothic novels, their appeal over the years and the decades, with their successful mix of intrigue, romance, and just a touch of horror. Well, today's book is a good example of how the genre has evolved into its contemporary form. Set in a lonely manor house, we heard it vaguely described there in the opening, nestled in the wild hills of Scotland. The book offers us two stories from two different times set at the same manor house and its lonesome watery loch or lake. The first story, a unique twist on the Battle of Britain, set in 1940, when Scotland was under dire threat by the Nazi warplane blitz. And the second story, a modern, just pre-COVID, Scottish Highlands story, when our contemporary heroine finds herself surprised by a job offer to move from metropolitan London into the Scottish Highlands as the first PR director, hoping to salvage the finances of that self-same manor house that has seen sadder days since surviving the Nazi blitz in that summer of 1940. Back to our first story. It's a clear, moonlit summer's night. The German warplane blitz brings down a young, handsome Air Force officer, his plane careening and plunging into the loch that fronts the manor house that fateful night, a crash seen only by that young daughter of the house, who has escaped her own evening's birthday party, just turning 21, after fighting off the unwanted advances of another visiting young pilot. Constance, the young woman to whom we were introduced, is our heroine, and she had made her way in the dark to that lonely loch to come to grips with her emotions when suddenly, out of the sky, that World War II warplane roared to its death. Ignoring propriety as we heard, Constance jumps into the loch, swims out to where the plane must have sunk, and after not a few tense moments discovers the young pilot still alive, nearly drowning in his still intact flight suit. Together, they manage to struggle to the near midnight dark shore, and Constance hides the young officer in a no longer used forester's cottage, where the young pilot shares a most surprising and disturbing decision with her. A decision that will drive the lives of Constance and of Kate so many decades later, who arrives at the same wilds of Scotland 80 years later. Fast forward, then, to 2020. Kate, a young and aggressive London PR relations whiz, is invited by the current owner of the Scottish manor house to take on the challenge of remaking and updating the house and the grounds so that it can feature a modern-day B&B, a tea house and show gardens, with the hopes of becoming Scotland's newest tourist center in the Highlands. Dashed in her hopes to further her career in London because of a tragic misunderstanding, Kate leaps at the opportunity and impulsively moves to that lonely manor house in the hinterlands of Scotland. Romance and its companions, doubt and worry, run rampant through the stories, both stories, as they surge forward, those set decades apart in time. Will Constance, in 1940, waver in her pledge not to reveal the young airman's hideout in that groundkeeper's cabin? Will the young airman go on the run or turn himself in? Will Kate, in 2020, some 80 years later, see her work bring the failing manor house through to a successful B&B future? Or will she wilt from her doubts and her worries? Will Kate's day-to-day boss, James, the son of the manor's current owner, find happiness in a childhood home he never appreciated? And perhaps even fall in love with the PR agent his mother hired behind his back, in his mind, to make drastic steps to keep the manor house in the black? And what of that promise made so long ago at the beginning of World War II? Will its reverberations bring joy or never-ending remorse to two young women and the men they come to love? Read Forbidden Promise and find out. I'll give you no spoilers in this review. Yes, our 2020 character, Kate, our heroine of the modern day, comes across as just a little too daft about romance and dating as the pages run forward. She's obsessed with not making any faux pas in her new job so intently that she refuses, at least to herself, to admit that she is smitten with her new boss, and he with her, despite getting off to a truly rough start to their work, much less coupling relationship. On the other hand, Constance, a 1940s heiress who yearns for a life of action, an active role in serving her country now at war, rings true as a young woman of means in rural Britain's 1940. The mansion, the surroundings, the hills of Scotland are all well sketched as the two stories flow, one after the other, the decades separating the fashions, but not the underlying beauties and mysteries of them all. Let's finish with a bit of the introduction to Kate. We got our introduction to Constance there as we journeyed back to that summer of 1940 at midnight when the Spitfire comes crashing into the lake, the lock, outside of her baronial home. Fast forward, same place, different time, and we learn this. Kate should never have said no to the offer of a sat-nav for the hire car. There'd even been a promotional discount at the car rental desk at the airport, but she had, somewhat smugly, waved her mobile phone at the clerk and explained she had free GPS app. It was already installed. But her signal had dropped out long ago, and with the countryside becoming even wilder, she reasoned her phone data wasn't able to return anytime soon. Kate pulled the little hatchback over to the side of the road and looked around for any sign of life. Any kind of sign at all would have been nice. She couldn't remember how far she'd gone down the long B road before she had glanced at her phone and found the app unresponsive. How long had it been like that? The last village she'd passed had been at least 10 minutes ago, and she couldn't even remember what it had been called. As the sun dipped in the sky, she spread the map out across the bonnet and scanned it for something familiar. Thank goodness someone at the car rental office had placed one in the glove compartment. She would be arriving much later than she said she would. It would be the worst kind of first impression, turning up for her new live-in job as night was falling. There was no way Kate was going to find her way in the dark, so she was just going to have to keep heading down the road in the hope it would lead her to civilization, where she could get some kind of data reception on her phone. You don't get this sort of nonsense in London, she thought. Although London was the last place she wanted to be right then, she glanced up and down the desolate road. She'd wanted peace and quiet, but maybe not this quiet. As Kate glanced back up, she screamed. A man was standing at the side of the road, facing her, his mouth open in horror as she drove towards him. What was he doing in the road? He lifted his hands up to shield his face. At the very last second, Kate dropped her phone, turned the wheel quickly to swerve away from him, and stumped her foot down on the brake. The car skidded across the road into the path of oncoming traffic, or it would have done if there had been any other vehicles on this stretch of inhospitable countryside road. Instead, the rental car came to a stop at an angle that left the bonnet facing a row of tall pine trees at the side of the road. Kate couldn't move. Her knuckles were white, her fingernails dug into her palms, where she tightened her grip around the wheel. Kate forced herself to look in the rearview mirror to see if the man was still alive. He wasn't there. She hadn't hit him. Or had she? She wasn't sure of anything. With shaking hands, Kate unfurled her fingers from the wheel and unclicked the seatbelt. She went to an open door, but trouble was taken from her hands as a man yanked it open and stared angrily down at her. She sat back in shock. His jaw was clenched, and he appeared to be struggling to speak. "Thank goodness you're alive!" Her voice was shaky, her heart still thudding hard. He stood back and gave her room to get out of the car.
"No thanks to you."
"I'm sorry." Kate climbed out and stood in front of him, her legs wobbly.
"You almost killed me."
"I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. Are you hurt?"
"No,"
he snapped, and then added as an afterthought, "Are you?" Kate nodded, but didn't move. Concerned, she'd just broken the law, almost killing someone at the same time.
"Can you do it? Move it? Or do you want me to?"
He looked at her as if she was an idiot.
I can do it. I don't mind."
He raised an eyebrow and gave her a look that proved he was in no doubt she was a fool.
"Chalk it up to experience."
He put his headphones in his ears, fiddled with his phone, turned, and continued jogging away. The Forbidden Promise. One secret, two lives. Constance and Kate, their friends, their lovers, changed forever. By Lorna Cook. It's available at all of our fine local public libraries, including the West Lafayette Public Library. Thank you for listening.